Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Are you blessed and highly flavored? Praise God. You know, Jesus is so cool, you know? You know, it's amazing when he showed up to his disciples. And they weren't even his disciples. He just walks up to these guys and he says, "Follow me." You know? And they're like, "Okay." There's something about this guy I want to follow. There's only one person he didn't say follow. That was Judas. He never went up to Judas and said, "Follow me." See, you're here because he said, "Follow." You can't come unless you've been called. And in this call, there's that preparation. But now that he said follow, there's something we must do. Follow it through. We must what? Follow it through. You know, how many times have you started something and quit? You gave up, became a wimp. It's too hard. This can't be God's will. I can't sweat that much. A Holy Ghost detox. Hallelujah. Follow it through. See, he said, "Follow me," so we must follow through. And in this, there is a great reward in following things through. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Turn to your neighbor, tell him this message is for you. And for me. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Would you read it with me? "But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who what? For love him." Now, understand this. Many people are always looking at love as an emotion. Love is a choice. It's the emotional part that messes up people. Because they're so caught up in the feeling that it can actually nullify the things of God. Does everybody got it? Love is a choice. Jesus so loved the world that he gave of himself. Love is a choice. It isn't a feeling. It is a choice. The feelings that you and I get is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Joy is a great feeling. But there is joy that comes from above that gives you strength, because the joy of the Lord is your what? Strength. But there are things that the enemy likes to intrude or replace. You know, people say, "Oh, it's love at first sight." No, it's lust at first sight. Love is a choice, not a feeling. And in this it says, this is so powerful, because he says, "Eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." So many times people are waiting for a feeling to come to love him. The feeling of peace, joy, and righteousness comes when you make the choice to love him. "I'm going to choose to love you." Why? Because you chose to love me first. Then a relation begins to get built. And it gets built by being disciplined. As you are disciplined, you go into a relationship and a love affair. The more you learn about him, the more you worship him, the more his presence comes, the more you fellowship with him, you begin to know him. So in this relationship, you begin to fall in love with him. But it starts by a choice, doesn't it? It starts by a choice. And he said, "Listen, there's things that I want to show you. I want you to hear, and I want to bring you into another realm of the deep things that I have, if you'll just make the choice to love me. And if you'll love me, you'll obey me. Make the choice to follow me. And if you'll follow it through, you'll have great reward. In verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his what? His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So who's going to grant you the ability to see and to hear and reveal the wonderful things he has for you? The Holy Spirit. Has everybody got it? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. I'm telling you again, the Holy Spirit. You can read the Bible all your life and never find the deep things of God until you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Then all of a sudden comes, whoa! I never saw that before. Right, because you're no longer reading the letter. You are being led by the Spirit now. It's different. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Are the gifts of the Spirit given to you freely? Yes. Those are tools. It's amazing how many people don't even use the gifts. There have been people who have been baptized in the Holy Ghost years ago, began speaking in tongues, and then they went to church and they said, no, you can't be doing that stuff. That was then. You got a devil now. No, the one telling that person's the one that's got the devil. He's got a spirit of antichrist against the anointing. Are you listening? Verse 13. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but what the what? The Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are what? Spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the what? Mind of Christ. So through the mind of Christ, we will hear, we will see, and we will do. Through the mind of Christ, we will what? Hear, see, and do, so that we can follow it through. Only by the Spirit of the Lord. In Mark 16. Mark 16. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to who? Them. Are you them now? Yeah, you be them. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. After I got saved, man, I preached everything. If it moved, it heard. If it didn't move, I ate it. Verse 16. He who what? Believes. What's the word believe mean? To follow. What did Jesus say? Follow me. So if he said follow you, he who believes is going to follow it through, isn't he? He who believes and is baptized will be what? Saved. But he who does not believe will be what? Condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out what? Demons. You know, this may sound strange to you, but sickness is a demon. Hello? Well, God didn't. How did God? God isn't going to bring sickness. What does he do? When sickness comes, it comes in the demonic presence. Are you listening? That's why he said, go out and what? Heal the sick. So he says here, now listen, in my name they will cast out what? Demons. Man, let me tell you something. When I'm feeling sick, I lay my hands on myself. I cast out the devil. Are you listening? Man, there's times when I fill a tub up and baptize myself again. Haven't done it in a while. I got a big pool now, so it don't matter. I got a big baptize. But there's nothing wrong with doing that. Sometimes we just need to lay our hands. Lord, anoint these hands that they be your hands and lay them on yourself. Look in the mirror sometimes and see who winks at you. Who's in your mirror? Man, there's times when you looked in your mirror and you were afraid. Oh my God, what is that? That was a demon. What do? You command it to come out. Has everybody got this? This is important. You are not fighting flesh and blood. You're fighting powers of darkness. These spirits will access you and you don't even know it. That's all you need to do is touch and agree with a thought and you got one. In my name, these signs will follow. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Now, this is not only a manifestation of a new language called tongues, associated with the gifts of the Spirit, but it's also associated with you will speak differently now. You'll speak differently. You won't speak according to the flesh. You will speak according to the Spirit. You'll speak differently. You have a different language. And they will take up serpents. And they will drink anything deadly. Of course, the serpents is demonic, and drinking anything deadly is associating things that you speak and eat. Of course, you're not going to go out and siphon a car and test God because you'll die. And it will by no means hurt them. They will what? Lay hands on the sick and they will what? Recover. So if you're sick, lay hands on yourself. But first, make sure your hands are clean. You must commit them to the Lord. Why? Because there's times I'd rather lay hands on myself than have anybody else do it because I don't know where they've been. By doing these things, these signs will follow. Why? Because we are manifesting the love of God with supernatural manifestations by eternal activation. We've talked about eternal activation. Of what you hear, what you speak, and what you do. We must follow it through to manifest. Not only to see it through, but to follow it through. In other words, when God begins to give you something, you hear, you see, then you do. One of the things that's always going to happen because the enemy knows what you're thinking. He knows your thoughts. He's always going to try to interfere and prevent you from doing, even when God shows you. I'll never forget, we were praising and worshiping and at a service, and a woman came up. The next thing, she was in front of me, and she said, pray for me, and she had a cane. I thought, oh, Lord. He said, don't worry, guy, it's not you. I said, okay. What do you want me to do? I want you to cast the serpent out of her leg. And her foot was a cleft foot. She had a cane. She was paralyzed on one side. And I commanded that serpent to come out of her leg. I said, now move your foot. She moved her foot. And her foot popped out. She ran around the church and threw the cane, and she was totally healed. See, but it wasn't me. And what happens is the enemy tries to put in front of you, you. Uh-oh. Did I pray enough? Uh-oh. Did I worship enough? Uh-oh. Did I? No. If you hear, you see, you do. You must follow through. Does everybody got this? Now, I'm going to go a little further because there's a lot of granolas, nutty and fruity people, who just walk around going, oh, I need to lay hands on somebody. They need to lay hands on themselves and get rid of the devil. Because everything must be of God's time, it must be of God's will, and it must be of God's desire, and not your own. There's something that happens to you when you're getting ready to pray for someone. You get love and you get compassion. I have prayed with people and wept more than they did. Then we both wept. God has always wanted to express his love. He doesn't tear people down. He lifts them up. So we must follow it through, but the enemy's always going to try to prevent you from following it through because he's going to try to bring you to you. He's going to try to promote doubt, isn't he? He's going to try to promote fear. Anything he can do to prevent you from following through, he will do. Go to Romans 8. Everyone say, follow it through. Romans 8, 28. Let's read it together. And we know that all things work together for good to those who what? Love him, and to those who are called according to his purpose. Are you called and do you love him? Okay. Well, then all things are going to work to the good. Well, because if you love him, you will obey him, right? In verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also what? Predestined to be conformed in the image of his son. Did his son cast out devils? Did his son lay hands on the sick? Did his son walk on water? No, I don't want to hear about anybody drowning out there. Unless God tells you to go, you'll walk on water. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Why would he do that? So that he can get all the glory. Do you understand that? So we will be the sign and wonder. As we become the sign and wonder, signs will follow you. You know, speaking in tongues is multiple purposes. Not only is it a sign to the unbeliever, but it's an area of intercession by the Spirit of God to the Father. Not only bringing revelation, but speaking the mysteries of God. So we must follow it through. If you love him and you know that you're called, you know that all things are going to work to the good, right? Even if you make a mistake? That's right. Even if you make a mistake. So the enemy's going to try and tell you that you made the mistake already. Before you even did anything. Because he's going to bring you to you and prevent you from following it through. Go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Hebrews 10, 35, let's read it together. Therefore, do not cast away your what? Confidence, which has what? Great reward. For you have need of what? Endurance. In other words, follow it through. You have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Now, let me share this with you. The will of God is this. First of all, it's always to practice righteousness, right? The will of God is to practice righteousness. So is casting out devils practicing righteousness? Amen. Is that God manifesting his love towards someone? Yes. So it says here that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Now, the promise is the manifestation. The will of God in this particular purpose is the area that you heard, you saw, you obeyed. In other words, you followed it through. Once you have followed it through, the will of God has been completed. A manifestation will come. Has everybody got that? That is the promise. The promise to heal, the promise to deliver, the promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the promise. After you have done the will of God, that you may receive the promise. The promise is the manifestation. Does everybody get this? So the will of God is to obey. Amen. If God told you to go do something, you do it. When you hear, you see, you go do, that is associated with the will of God. Once you have done the will of God, the manifestation will come. Well, I didn't see it yet. Ah, don't grow weary. It has to come. It has to. There was a woman in a story, and I think you've heard this before, and she went to a healing service, and she had a tumor on her forehead. And she went, and the Lord told her to go up and get prayed for. So she went up, and she got prayed for. And she received her healing, and she went home. And for 2 weeks, nothing happened. But she truly believed she was healed. And one morning, her mother's friend came over, and her mother's friend said, "Oh, how you doing?" She said, "Fine, I'm healed." And her mother got upset and said, "I've been hearing this for the last 2 weeks. I haven't seen anything happen yet." She got up from the table. She went upstairs to her room. She went to the mirror and she said, "Lord, I know you healed me. Would you show them?" Was gone. I think that changed everybody's breakfast. Amen. I think it changed the whole atmosphere of that whole house. So we are in need of endurance to receive the manifestation. Do you understand that? Because after you've completed the will, something is going to manifest. Romans 8 again. Romans 8, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me, please? "There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So it's important that we are walking according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. And there are many people who try to manifest these gifts through the flesh, or what we call through the soulish arena. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in a likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement," now there's a righteous requirement, "of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the" what? So there is a requirement, isn't there? And in this requirement, that means that we must walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. And the Bible says that those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. And those who are led by the flesh are sons of the devil. And anyone can make the choice in who they want to follow that day. God will never force you. It's amazing how some people start off in the Spirit, then they end up in the flesh. And it's because they want what they want when they want it. And they've not maintained staying filled with the Spirit. I've seen people who gotten delivered and healed and then go right back. Because the devil's convinced them that they're fine. Let me tell you, when you think you're fine, you're in danger. You tell somebody, "I'm fine, you're the one that's a mess." You're the one that's the mess. Nobody's made it. I'm not fine. I can't trust me. Self is the most untrusty thing there is. I don't even like to call it a person. It's a thing. It's an offspring of darkness. And it cannot be trusted at all. So there's this righteous requirement. And it is to be led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. In verse 5, "For those who live according to the flesh set their" what? minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Listen, so you might set your mind on the thing of the Spirit in the morning, and in the afternoon you set your mind on the thing of the flesh. That doesn't mean you're in the Spirit, man. If you're in the Spirit, you're in the Spirit. If you're in the flesh, you're in the flesh. I hate the flesh. When I know I'm in the flesh, I go lock myself up. I don't want to associate with nobody. Because I'm no good to nobody, including myself. So I wait. I wait till it passes, till the Lord comes and kills me or does something. I pray and I worship. I do what I have to do so I'm not in the flesh. I do not want to live according to the flesh. I want to live according to the Spirit. Will I make mistakes? Yes. But see, even living in the Spirit, you can still make a mistake. Do you understand that? Will you say something you wish you didn't? Yes. But by being in the Spirit, you quickly go, oops, sorry, forgive me, Lord. But by in the flesh, you justify what you've just done. You reason what you've just done. Now you become the son of the devil instead of the son of God. And it is a dangerous place to be. Dangerous. Because if you have allowed it to be that long and you begin to justify and reason, that means you've got some strong demons and you need deliverance. Verse 6. For to be what? Carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, for indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot what? Please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And this is an area where you are cooperating with the Spirit of Christ. If Christ is in you and the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Because of what? So if you're not practicing righteousness, what's alive? The flesh. If you're practicing righteousness, what's dead? The flesh. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Him from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So if He's giving life to your mortal bodies and you're carrying this life within you, He wants to express this life through you. But you must get out of the way. But that's the one thing the enemy always brings. You. What about me? What about my feelings? Well, what about how I think? What about, it's all about me. See, the enemy will always bring you to you so you can't follow it through. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Psalm 24. Man, you're all quiet tonight. Psalm 24. And verse 3. Psalm 24 and verse 3. Would you read it with me? And who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in His holy place? Now, I want you to look at something here. And who may stand in His holy place? And who may stand in His holy place? Two arenas, and you got to look at dimensional, because the Lord speaks in three dimensions, past, present, future. Also, there's also three-dimensional meanings of His Word. And who may stand in His holy place? Well, of course, we know that we are looking at an ascension into the glory of God. We're looking at going into His presence here on earth as we praise and worship. And it's also looking into the area where who may stand in His place as a representative. Do you got this? And who may stand in His holy place as a representative? Okay? Let's go a little further. In verse 4, this This is the requirement. He who has what? Clean hands and a what? And a pure heart. Say it again. Clean hands and a pure heart. I said again. Clean hands and a what? And a pure heart. In other words, not touching things that's unclean. And a pure motive. Nor has lifted up his soul to an idol. Can you be an idol? Yes, you can. Self loves to be an idol. Nor sworn deceitfully. Did you say something you didn't want to? Get in the flesh? He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Lift up your heads, O you what? Gates. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Now I want you to look at, again, the three-dimensional arena. Gates. Gates are associated with the entrance to the glory of God. It's associated with the gates of hell to access and destroy. And it's also associated with the natural realm, lifting up the natural realm, removing the natural realm so the King of glory can come in. This is where you and I create an atmosphere for him. We create an atmosphere for him in the area through praise and worship. We create an atmosphere through him. But there must be and create an atmosphere for the gifts of the Spirit. Jesus, even Paul said, I perceive that you're ready, your faith is strong enough to receive healing. Jesus, there were times when he couldn't do anything because of the atmosphere. People were in unbelief. So there's an area where you and I must create the atmosphere. And the first atmosphere that must be created is in you. And we'll talk about that in a second. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and lift up your everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is King of glory. Again, explain what the gates are. The super, and this is where the natural is replaced with the supernatural. This is where the natural is replaced with the supernatural. It comes in through you with clean hands, a pure heart. Now remember, contamination promotes carnal, fleshly, emotional soul. When you are contaminated, when an individual is contaminated because the hands aren't clean and the heart's not pure. Clean hands, pure motive, pure motive, pure motive, pure motive. Nothing to the area of usury, pure motive, pure motive. And in this pure motive and clean hands, the King of glory will love to flow through you. So that as you're creating an atmosphere for the gifts of the Spirit, you're creating an atmosphere for the King of glory to go in. You're creating an atmosphere for the gates to be lifted up and moved out of the way. But many times in this arena, the enemy wants to come in again, bring you to you. So that if you touch something unclean or your motive is unpure, people begin to move in the gifts of the Spirit through the soulish, emotional flesh. And they begin to speak out of wrong desire. And they open themselves up to familiar spirits. Do you ever get somebody who wants to pray for you and lay hands on you? Just let me lay hands on you. Let me pray for you. That's all they want to do. Well, God told me, God told me, God told me, God told me. Well, he told me to tell you, shut up. Because they're always trying to prove they're right. Ezekiel 13. One thing we don't want to do is prophesy out of the soul. We don't want to speak things out of the soul. That soulish, carnal flesh. In Ezekiel 13 and verse 1. I have seen people prophesy over individuals, and they were dead wrong. I was at a prayer meeting one time, and an individual was facing prison time, and a man of God came in, well known, I'm not going to mention a name, and prophesied that God was going to cut him loose. And the Holy Spirit said to me that was out of his soul and his desire for that man to be free. But it wasn't from me. He went to prison for life. And there was something, I'm not going to go into it, there was something the Lord gave me to tell him. And I never saw it get done. That man went to prison for life. Even though it was a well-known man of God that prophesied to this man. But the Holy Spirit said to me, he prophesied out of his desire, not out of me. Everybody okay? Verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy, and say to those who prophesy out of their own heart, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets, who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. They didn't see, did they? You know why? Because they didn't hear. So if they didn't hear and they didn't see, they got no reason to speak. They got no reason to speak. But many people will speak right out of their soulish arena and cause problems instead of help. O Israel, your prophets are like foxes in the desert. You have not gone up into the gaps to build a wall for the house of Israel to stand in battle on the day of the Lord. They have envisioned futility and false divination, saying, thus says the Lord, but the Lord has not sent them. Yet they hope that the word may be confirmed. Have you not seen a futile vision? And have you not spoken false divination? You say, the Lord says, but I have not spoken. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have spoken nonsense and envisioned lies, therefore I am indeed against you, says the Lord God. My hand will be against the prophets who envision futility and who have divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, nor be written in the record of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord God. Because indeed, because they have seduced my people, saying what? Peace. Peace. It's okay. Peace. When there is no peace. And one builds a wall, and they plaster it with untempered mortar. The mortar is the arena of the Spirit, the anointing. Say to those who plaster with untempered mortar that it will what? Fall. There will be flooding rain, and you, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall tear it down. Untempered mortar. In other words, it's got to be an area where it must be heated, refined. But it wasn't refined. It wasn't heated. It was just regular mortar that wasn't set to harden. It would crumble. But I'll tell you one thing. The anointing doesn't crumble. In fact, the Bible says the gates of hell cannot come against the anointing. And because they prophesy by the carnal, fleshly, emotional soul. And because they were contaminated. And because of the contamination, they couldn't see, they couldn't hear, they couldn't see, nor could they speak according to the will of God or the word of God. So they spoke their own. And it didn't come to pass, did it? Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Follow it through. Everybody there? Verse 1, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all those within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not His what? His benefits. How many of you know He's got benefits? He's got a great health plan. He's got a retirement plan. He's got a prosperity plan. Forget not His benefits, who forgives all your what? Iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Awesome. Benefits by what? Praise. Praise. Don't forget. Bless the Lord, all my soul. What are you doing? You're changing the atmosphere, aren't you? Why? So His benefits, so His manifestations can come. Benefits of praise established by creating an atmosphere of His presence for the spiritual gifts to manifest. First, again, atmosphere must be established within us. Then we can establish the presence and atmosphere of change out of us. You can't do it if you can't come in and do something outward unless it's done inward first. 1 Corinthians 12. First Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 7, following it through. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of what? All. All. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. That means you don't just get one. If you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, every one of the gifts is a manifestation through you by God Almighty. Does everybody got it? Paul labeled it this way, so people, it's amazing how people say, well, I have this gift. Well, you don't have any gift. They're not your gifts anyways. They're not mine. They're the gifts of the Spirit, not the gifts of the person. You've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Every gift is in you. If the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit's in you, then every gift is in you. What Paul did is just said it so that people would see each individual gift. So he said, to one is given. Didn't mean to one individual just manifesting that gift. In verse 11, but one in the same Spirit works all things, all these things, distributing to each one individually as who wills? As the Spirit wills. Pretty amazing, huh? But it's the profit of all. It's the profit of all. So this is, again, we must, listen, we must follow it through. We must follow things through so that the manifestation can come. And when the enemy comes and puts you in front of you, you must get rid of it. That's why you must be careful to keep your hands clean and your heart pure. You change the atmosphere within you first. Then you change the atmosphere outwardly. Why? Because if you change the atmosphere within you, wherever you go, the atmosphere is going to change. You can go to the streets, and the atmosphere around you is going to change. Go to Jude. Jude 17. That's verse. You know, if the atmosphere in you isn't changed first, you get around people. And they'll change you. They'll begin to change you. That's why the Bible says evil company corrupts good habits. That's why it's important for you to change the atmosphere within you. You know, many believers who say they're believers and try to be outwardly good Christians, they can't last. They always manifest. They can't make it. And you can only fake it so long. To where you begin to manifest in the flesh. It's because the atmosphere within isn't changed. You must maintain a creative atmosphere. There must be a creative atmosphere within you all the time. The Bible says, be ready in season and out. So that you can co-labor with God. A creative atmosphere. I didn't say you wouldn't go through stuff. Didn't say you wouldn't get frustrated. Didn't say you wouldn't make a mistake. But if the created atmosphere is there, you'll overcome. You won't let it move you out. That's why many people go back to the old things. Because they've not maintained a created atmosphere within them. So they just go to work. They don't even pray in the morning. Oh, Lord, thank you for another day. Hallelujah. You know? Please bless me. No warfare, no intercession, no nothing. Yeah, and I need some clothes. Or I need this. Or I need that. No putting the full armor of God on. No getting filled with the Spirit. No asking the Lord to dispatch the angels. No, you know, no binding the powers of darkness. No using the keys. No using the weapons. The devil doesn't have to bother them. They're already up. They're no threat to him. See, religion is no threat to the devil. It's no threat to him because he established religion. Religion was brought in by Satan. The kingdom is brought in by God. There's a difference. Because the kingdom is of power, not religion. Religion has its own rules of self-sustaining and self-promoting. And even their own doctrines. But it produces a false doctrine. It produces flawed doctrines. And flawed doctrines produce flawed belief system. A flawed belief system produces flawed perception. They can't see. They're bound to one dimension. And we don't want to be bound to one dimension. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody okay? Woohoo! Verse 17. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own godly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions and not having the Spirit. In this, I want you to understand that these are individuals he's talking about that have been not been are in fellowship through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You got to remember that the Bible was written to the book of believers, not unbelievers. And verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith by what? Praying in the Holy Spirit. And what is that? Praying in tongues. Building your most holy faith up. Why? Because we talked about eternal activation is established by faith, isn't it? But in this, building your most holy faith up. Now look at, and what's 21? Keep yourselves in a what? Love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, and on others save with what? Fear. Pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to our God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever, and to God be the glory. Amen. Mockers come against you. You must follow it through. Follow it through. Why? Creating an atmosphere in you with prayer, praise, and tongues. Prayer, praise, and tongues. Acts 19. Acts 19. Follow it through. Acts 19 and verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth. And there was a church, that's where the church of Corinthians at. That Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and that's where the book of Ephesians comes from. And finding some disciples. What's a disciple? One who follows Christ, right? And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed or were saved? And they said to him, we've not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Wow. They didn't know about the Holy Ghost. But they knew about salvation, didn't they? But they didn't know about the Holy Spirit. So the ones that led them to the Lord didn't know about the Holy Spirit either. They only knew about salvation. Thank God Paul found them. They'd have been stuck in the outer court. And verse 3, and he said to them, and then what were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Paul said, well, John, did he baptize with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, so that on Jesus Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had what? Laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. They spoke with tongues and what? Prophesied. They got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they laid hands on them. Didn't he say lay hands on the sick and they would recover? So in this created atmosphere, Paul heard, he saw, and he followed it through. He heard, he saw it, and he followed it through. And he laid hands on them, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Does everybody see that? So understand that laying on of hands is also associated with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? It's a transfer of the anointing. Now, go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Was the promise manifested? Yes. Isn't the baptism of the Holy Spirit a promise? Amen. Is healing a promise? Yes. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 21. Is everybody there? I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself what? Keep yourself what? Pure. In other words, don't lay your hands on someone. In this, you must hear, see, and do. You must follow it through. And there's times when somebody will come to you and say, pray for me, and you're going to lay hands on them. And God didn't tell you that. Are you getting this? That is disobedience. That's disobedience. There is a time when God will tell you to lay hands on someone. There's going to be a time when God will tell you to pray with someone. When you pray with someone, you stick out your hand, or you just pray for them. You know, so many times unbelievers run because somebody's going to walk up to them. Hey, man, you need some prayer? Cool. And God didn't say to do that. And he says, don't be quick to lay your hands on. You know why? Because if there's stuff in them and you do it without direction of the Lord, what's in them will come through into you. I've seen it happen over and over. I was ministering at a drug program. I was a volunteer pastor there for a year. There were people that came in there. They had a smoking pit, which I kept telling them, it ain't nothing but a pit of demons. And dudes would lay hands on people praying for one another with a cigarette in their mouth. I kept telling the director, man, that's all. And now guys that never smoked are smoking because they were imparting. Never lay your hands on someone. And don't let somebody lay their hands on you unless you know where they're at. You know, people go, oh, I just feel like I got to lay hands on someone. Hey, I feel like I got to lay a hand on you. Yes, the Lord told me to come and pray for you. Well, he didn't tell me. Get out of here. Are you listening? Why? Because you don't know where that person has been. I've been in churches and the church will say, okay, everybody lay hands on this person. I'm like, oh, not this person. See ya. Why? Because you think that the pastor knows where everybody's been? Well, he doesn't. And I don't like when somebody says, oh, everybody lay hands on someone. No. You can pray for someone without having laying the hands on them. Amen? Keep yourself clean. You don't know what somebody's been doing behind closed doors. And if they're manifesting in the flesh and you see the fruits of the flesh, don't let them touch you. I had a guy put his hand on my back one time when I was a baby in Christ. And I turned around, slapped that thing, and that burned my back for a long time. I went home and I cleansed and commanded things to leave me for days. I didn't know what that dude was trying to impart in me. And I wasn't going to take no chances. I fought hard to stay clean. I got enough fight of my own, not somebody else. So we must use wisdom. So it's important to create an atmosphere of creation in you. So that he is in you is greater than he is in the world. Now you're carrying the presence, that creative working power within you. You are walking in the joy. There's no reason to be miserable. I'm not saying you're not going to get upset sometimes. But man, you got to come out of that and then go forward. You can't, listen, don't. It's amazing how many people say, well, it's this person that caused me to do this. Well, then you didn't stir yourself up. Because the person can't cause you to do nothing. I said, you didn't establish a creative atmosphere within you. Because a creative atmosphere would have said, no, can't touch me. No, I'm not going to go there. No, I'm not going to accept that. No. See, what the enemy does is put self in front of you. And now you want to protect self, improve self, instead of get rid of it. Hello? Anybody been there? Hallelujah. Welcome to the Been There Club. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake. Now, we don't need a little wine for our stomach's sake. Hello? It's because they were eating stuff that was bad. Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. Likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those that are otherwise cannot be hidden. Don't lay hands on anyone to pray. Don't use your hands for the flesh. keep your hands pure. Keep your hands clean. Again, be careful who lays your hands on you. There's a couple things I just want to share with you. So in this maintaining a creative atmosphere, you must maintain fresh oil. You must maintain what? Fresh oil, Psalm 92. I didn't say flesh oil. I said fresh oil. Psalm 92. Follow it through. Psalm 92 is just for you. Is everybody there? Go to 9, verse 9. Oh, go to verse 8. But you, O Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord. For behold your enemies shall perish. All the works of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been what? Anointed with what? Fresh oil. So he became a wild ox. He was on fire, man. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, and those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God, and they shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Man, that's a created atmosphere within with some fresh oil. In this is God begins to bring you to a place where you are hearing and seeing and doing to follow it through. There's a couple things that you want to make sure, of course, by maintaining a creative atmosphere within you. One of the things you always want to ask the Lord is, what's your will concerning the situation? In other words, what's your will concerning the situation? What's your heart's desire for the situation? What's your timing on this? In other words, there's always God's timing on something. What's your will? What's your heart? What's your timing? And again, create that atmosphere. Pray, speak, lay hands, or encourage. One of those things is going to come up. He may have you just not even pray, just encourage someone. And you're going to, something's going to manifest. Why? Because you heard, you saw, and you did something. Just for someone to come out of oppression to encouragement is a manifestation. You know? I mean, yeah, I'd like to see people flip and flap like they've been a fish out of water on the ground or whatever. I've seen people turn into spiders and, you know, I've seen them snake, you know. All kinds of strange things have manifested. But one of the most beautiful things that manifests is when somebody gets set free from torment. Free from torment and where there's peace and sound mind and love and no more fear. You know? So that we've got to be careful in these areas. God may not, just because you hear something, you see something, and you know, he's showing you something to do, it doesn't always mean that you're going to go there and cast out the devil. I've gone to many places. I've asked people to come and help for something. I'm thinking, okay, am I supposed to cast out? Wait a minute. Lord, what's your desire? What's your heart on this? What do you want me to do? And just go over there and encourage. Go over there and comfort. Now, I've gone enough places and cast out devils, cleaned out places of accursed items, and so forth. This is where your relationship is so vitally important with the Holy Spirit. Because many people go, well, the Word says go do this. Okay, but what did God tell you? What did God tell you? But the Word says, no. What did God tell you? Yes, but the Word says, shut up, and what did God tell you? I don't know. Well, then you're walking an assumption. Do you ever see two people fight over the word? Neither one of them have a sword. They're just spitting flesh. They're throwing letters at each other. The other one's letters come out. No words of the script. I mean, they're quoting scriptures, but it's nothing but letters falling to the ground. Yeah, but a word says, and the other word, nothing's happening. They're fighting each other at the word of God. Yeah, well, you're blah, 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 and you're on that. Then they got to clean up all the letter mess. Nothing happened. Because it wasn't backed by the anointing. Amen. Nothing but letter vomit. Go to Philippians 4 and we'll close here. Philippians chapter 4. Follow it through. You know, you got to follow it through not to do something. Do you know what I'm saying? Following it through doesn't mean you're going to do something. Following it through sometimes is saying, don't do it. Like, don't lay hands on that person. Oh, Lord, but you showed me. That wasn't me. I had a person beg me one time to lay hands on them. My wife and I were at a hospital, and I think we went to go visit somebody, and we were in a downstairs outside, and this girl came up and started saying all kinds of, I mean, she was granola. And she said, lay hands on me, lay hands on me. And the Lord said, don't you dare lay hands on her. I said, no, but I'll pray for you. No, 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 I don't want your prayer. I want you to lay hands on me. I said, no, I won't lay hands on you. The Lord said, if I laid hands on her, what's in her is going to come in me. He said, don't you dare lay hands on her. And I didn't. She got upset and ran. And we were outside. We just happened to walk outside. We're just to take a break from being in there. And my wife and I just walked outside. And this girl come out of nowhere. Why? Because she was a ploy. She was sent by the devil. She was a house of demons. And the Lord said, do not lay hands on her. Because if you do, what is in her will come into you. I said, I ain't touching that. I'll pray for you, but I'm not touching. I'm not laying hands on you. When you lay hands on someone, you open yourself up. So he and you better be greater. You know, there better be a creative atmosphere. So that creative atmosphere is imparted into somebody else. By clean hands and a pure heart. Amen? Philippians 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord when things are going your way. Always. Again, I say rejoice and let your gentleness. I say what? Gentleness. So you can be creative atmosphere with a bull and still be gentle. Let your gentleness be known to all men that the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Follow it through. Follow it through doesn't always mean to do something. Sometimes it means to stop doing it. It's important because we want to see the manifestation of God's love. And it comes in many forms. Never limit God of his manifestation of love. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. And we ask, Master, that the seed has been imparted, be protected by the blood of the Lamb, and grow and bear fruit for your glory. Bless your people. And grant them the wisdom and discernment. Manifest your love through them with the gifts of the Spirit, with signs and wonders, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.